Hello, and welcome to the NVIDIA AI Podcast. I'm your host, Noah Kravitz. My guest today has my favorite LinkedIn profile of all time. It reads, Pinar Yanarda, I love data. Perfect. What more do you need? Pinar is founder of Coven AI, which she calls the world's first AI fashion brand. And she recently completed her postdoc work at the MIT Media Lab in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where she used deep learning to explore scalable cooperation, the reimagining of human cooperation in the age of social media and artificial intelligence. She also did some stuff with scary GAN-generated imagery, but we'll get to that in a minute. Pinar Yardag, thanks for joining the AI podcast.
Thanks a lot for having me here. It's a great honor.
And I know you're battling a little bit of a cold. You traveled from Turkey to Boston, Boston to Silicon Valley. I can't even count the time zones, so I appreciate you battling through and joining us. Congrats on finishing your work at MIT. And let's talk about scalable cooperation. What is that?
Yeah. So actually, scalable cooperation is the group I worked at the MIT Media Lab. Mm-hmm. So it's a project I started at MIT. And actually, it's a group of over 15 students from MIT and professionals from Boston, where we help people to collaborate with AI and create beautiful things. So these are artists, artisans from all walks of life. Sometimes these people have no experience in AI. Sometimes like they are a bit, more up to date. But so far we created human AI collaborated fashion designs or graffiti, even pizza,
I read about the pizza with shrimp and jam.
It turned out to be really good, and the chef wants to put it on his menu. So it is incredible. But in all of these projects, I'm sure we will talk about it much more, but we saw that, AI is kind of inspiring people to be a bit more creative because it is very good at coming up with unexpected things mm-hmm. that, you wouldn't think on top of your head, like combining shrimp and jam.
Right.
But it was always people, their experience and their insight and their emotions to make it a real thing. So for the shrimp and jam pizza example, for instance, we made the pizza. Actually, we helped him to make the pizza. We were in the kitchen and, we get to know how to make a pizza. It was very fun. But we tasted the pizza. It was kind of okay. But the pizza chef said, okay, I can maybe add some arugula to this pizza. And after he made this addition, it tasted much better.
Uh-huh.
Than
this. Right. Yeah. So what would that process be like? Did you already have a model trained on recipes or types of pizza? Or did the chef come in and kind of give you so to speak, a data set to start with? How does
that
work?
So in all of these episodes that we completed, I think so far we have about 12 different episodes. We are always trying to create things that are diverse as possible. Like we even created a perfume, and I actually have it with me. You can smell.
Excellent.
Or like fashion designs, graffiti, even we created a play script. So in all of these projects, we first think, determine what are we going to generate.
Okay.
And then we curate the data on our own. So we, for example, for the fashion designs, we go and curated high fashion design like pictures all over the internet. Or for the graffiti, we collected the graffiti pictures of thousands of artists all over the world.
Uh-huh.
And then we train an AI, either it is GAN or recurrent neural network or something else. And then after we sort of have the first initial AI-generated content, we look for somebody to collaborate with. So we are asking our friends or we are tracking people online.
Yeah.
So for the pizza chef, for example, we were looking for a pizza place where we can cook the pizza ourselves because we didn't think somebody would be interested in this.
Right.
And we actually couldn't find anywhere. We find this Crash Pizza in Boston. We call them and say we want to do a pizza. Can we just bring some of the ingredients and you can just add the toppings to your pizza? And they said no, it is not sanitary. We have to make sure.
Right.
And then I stalked the owner of the pizza place from Facebook and I told him, look, we just, want to add some toppings. And they said, no, can you please help us?
Right.
And he said, this is amazing. Just come to my pizza place and I will make the pizza for you. So he actually then invited us. We were three people from the group. We went to the kitchen. We made the pizzas ourselves.
Very cool.
He of course, helped a lot. But
I have to ask, what kind of jam?
Strawberry jam, because
strawberry.
I had that at home with me. So we brought some of the weird stuff that they wouldn't have in the pizza place.
Yeah, yeah.
And so after we find the collaborator, we, you know, set up a time, either meet it at their office or somewhere else, and we show them a few of the designs because we don't want to dump them like hundreds of different recipes. So we are actually a bit biased in this because we are trying to select as weird as possible, like for the recipes and for the fashion designs as well. Because sometimes AI comes up with like normal looking, like fashion designs. It is not that interesting, but it is, for example, interesting when it comes up with a design where there's a bell sleeve on one arm and there's a normal sleeve in the other arm, some asymmetric details. We actually made that dress in real life as well. So the most interesting process in the whole of the, this like projects are, we show the designs and they are looking at the designs and they are thinking, oh, you know, that's interesting. Like, I wouldn't think of this, like combining this with this, or I wouldn't think of, you know, making this kind of dress.
Right.
And then they are adding their own insight and their own perspective to it, to basically collaborating with the AI's design. And then they are making something on top of it. I think it is the most interesting, you know, part of the whole process.
And is that kind of one of the big takeaways, is that you land on something where the human chef, designer, whoever it is, you know, says something to the effect of, I never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's, is that kind of one of the big takeaways?
Yeah. So this is one of the things that we are, you know, trying to show. Another thing is, you know, we are all familiar with the intellectuals, you know, opinion on AI, like their impact on job automation. Like we keep hearing from Elon Musk or Bill Gates, AI is, you know, going to automate jobs. Like people should fear from the AI and so on.
Right.
So it is a very, you know, powerful message when you think of it in terms of people out of computer industry. They also scared from AI. When I was, you know, talking about my work that I did at MIT with different people from different industries, they are like, oh, you know, AI is so cool, but it's also so scary. So in a way, another thing that we are trying to show in these projects is you don't have to fear from AI, but you can actually collaborate with AI. And actually, this is why I decided to, you know, make this project real, because when I was, you know, talking with a pizza chef, I was telling him, you have, you know, actually you can collaborate with AI. And they're like, yeah, as a pizza chef, I have so many things to collaborate with AI. So I wanted to show, you know, it doesn't matter which industry you are coming from, but you can collaborate with AI, whatever, you know, it is that you are making.
No, I think that's the promise. And you know, certainly on this podcast and people I've talked to, you know, we're recording at GTC in April, but, you know, I've been talking with people already on this first half day at the show. And that's really the theme around here, right? Is that it doesn't have to, we don't think it will eliminate jobs or cause, you know, problems for people, but actually quite the opposite, that you can use it to unlock creativity. You can use it to automate the mundane tasks or automate the less safe tasks or whatever it is, and then kind of free people up for kind of higher order tasks.
Yeah. So when I listen to, you know, talks about automation and read articles about it, so I feel like people are actually, you know, worried that AI is good at automating jobs, but I have the exactly opposite, you know, view. I think it is good that AI is getting good at automating, you know, jobs. It is like doing it faster, better and cheaper, because these are the tasks that are maybe like we are not supposed to do them in the first place. Like these are repetitive tasks that, like, as a human, maybe I'm not designed to, you know, worry about them. Now that AI is doing a better job at, you know, doing them, I can maybe focus on more, you know, important skills, like, you know, our emotions, our creativity, our empathy, and all of these soft skills. And I think this will help humanity to become, you know, smarter.
I mean, I was already convinced, but you convinced me. I'm with you. Let's talk about Coven AI, your fashion brand.
Yeah. So this is actually a brand that I started with my co-founder, Emily Salvador. She's also from MIT Media Lab. So we are hoping to create an AI fashion brand where we, you know, take the design that AI come up with. We are using a generative adversarial network, and then we are bringing those designs into real life. So in fashion, you know, we have different perspectives and opinions because we are trying to represent ourselves in some way. So
sure.
I think like an AI fashion brand is very good for, especially people in working in STEM, because when we launched our first project, Little Black Dress Imagined by AI, we got so many requests from people in STEM saying that, you know, how can I actually buy this dress?
Right.
It would be a great thing to wear at cocktail parties, uh-huh, because, you know, they have something interesting to talk with.
What was different about it? The Little Black Dress reimagined by AI.
Yeah. Actually, we didn't intend to create a little black dress design,
perfect,
but we were looking at the, you know, designs that was generated by the AI, and we particularly liked one of them. It was, mm-hmm, a black dress, and it has, you know, on one arm is a normal sleeve, the other arm is a bell sleeve, and it has some asymmetric details, uh-huh, and so on. So we then wanted to bring this into reality, because Little Black Dress is a fashion concept dated back to like Chanel's 1920s, mm-hmm, where, you know, they say every woman should have a little black dress in their wardrobe where they can, you know, use it to wear at cocktail parties or, you know, other,
sure,
events. So it is like your guaranteed good-looking dress,
yes,
that you can, you know, use. So we wondered whether we can actually make an AI-generated little black dress, and we made it in real life. And actually, we will start a Kickstarter campaign on it. We just made them in bulk,
uh-huh,
about 100, not like so many of them.
Right,
but
right.
It was an interesting process for us to learn as well how to actually, you know, take a design and make something in real life. It turns out there are so many things involved.
Yes.
And we were inspired by this process, and we are hoping to also bring solutions to fashion designers to make this process a bit easier, sort of automating some parts of, you know, their job pipeline.
So the dresses, so are dresses available now if people want to purchase
them?
Yeah,
so yes, tomorrow I will announce, you know, the Cullen AI, and people who are interested in can purchase it from our
Very
website.
Cool. Is there any ability or any plans for people to be able to experiment with the AI-powered creation tools,
yes,
to come up with their own,
yes,
designs?
Yes. So exactly, this is what we are working with. Emily, I can show you like some prototypes of our project. So we, similar to how to generate almost anything project, we want people to, you know, collaborate and interact with the AI system that we create as well. So the idea is you can just generate, you know, new designs on your own using our tool, and you can also fine-tune some of the details in the dress, like add different colors or add different styles, different textures. Hopefully in the future, you can actually like just click a button and order, like send this design to a tailor where she can just make in real life and ship it to you. So the future is, I think, amazing.
So I've kind of firmly settled into the dad fashion category, right? My fashion tastes these days are not super refined or adventurous, but I am kind of a fledgling sneakerhead. I really like sneakers. And so in listening to you talk, I was thinking about, you know, kind of two things in the sneaker world lately. One is taking all of these old designs and re-releasing them with slightly different tweaks, different color schemes, new materials. There's kind of a movement towards deconstructed sneakers. But then this other thing is some of the sneaker companies, Nike and Adidas and others, have a thing that let you, you know, design your own version,
yeah,
kind of within certain parameters. And so every once in a while, I'll go try it. And I come up with the ugliest things. And I just realize, like, I have no idea, you know, how to go about this. I don't know. If you branch into AI-generated, you know, sneakers,
yeah,
you've got
this is something that I'm going to talk in, like, tomorrow as well. So we created a real shoe based on, like, AI-generated design.
Wonderful.
So this is the AI-generated design.
Oh, cool.
And this is what we made in real life.
Sorry, you can't. This is great radio, I realize. But Pinar's showing me on her phone two images. One of the design, and it's kind of a, here, I'm going to put my fashion journalist skills to the test here. So it's kind of like, you know, your classic, like, black high heel, but then you've got this thing, it almost, the design almost looks like a very sleek pointed toe boot with a cutout in the back. And then when you swiped over to the actual shoe, it's got a little more of a strappy thing going on top. Very
so
cool.
Probably this is kind of a glitch in the AI generated design, because some of the images were looking like just normal shoes, mm-hmm, but some of them were like weird. It has different, some of them had different colors, like a blend of colors. Some of them had like weird blobs, and this one is what we particularly like because this can come kind of accompany the little black dress because it's a black shoe.
Right.
And then we actually made it in real life. We didn't make the shoe from scratch. We like bought a normal shoe,
okay,
and then we actually cut its back, and then we like kind of put some straps and so on. So it is an interesting experience for us. And actually, How to Generate Almost Anything project is originated from a class at MIT. Mm-hmm. So there is a class called How to Make Almost Anything. Mm, it is one of the most celebrated courses at MIT, where you know every year hundreds of students apply, but only about like 50 students get admitted. And every week they teach a new technology like 3D printing, laser cutting, and so on.
Okay.
And you actually have to make it in real life to, you know, sort of pass the course.
Right.
And the course is taught by Neil Gershenfeld, who is like a legendary at MIT. But basically, when we were taking this class, I kept thinking, oh, you know, this week we are doing this design, but I can actually train an AI to generate the design and make it in real life. So by the way, in this course, I ended up doing like a smart crib for my baby. I was like 7 months pregnant while taking the class, and I made everything from scratch, including like the woodwork, electronics, 3D printing, and everything.
So what
that
is it
in the crib?
Dude, is it monitor?
So yeah, it has sensors on it as well. So I created the electronics from scratch as well. It was just monitoring like the sound, the temperature.
Yeah.
The idea was it will make some smart, decisions, like if the baby is making sounds like she's almost like about to wake up, then it would like play some soothing sounds. But after having the baby, I had to learn that it is not how it works. No matter what you do.
Yes, having a baby will teach you how a lot of things do and don't work.
Yes.
That's for sure.
So anyway, it was a fun project, but after finishing the course, suddenly occurred to me like the title How to Generate Almost Anything kind of spin-off, and I liked the title so much that I decided that this should be something real.
That's very cool. We're speaking with Pinar Yanarda. She's the co-founder of Coven AI, the world's first AI fashion brand. And as we've been talking about, she just finished her postdoc work at the MIT Media Lab. Let's go back in time a little bit. You grew up in Turkey, and then you came to the States at some point, and now you've moved back to Turkey to work on Coven.
So I grew up in Istanbul, Turkey, and I was actually working in cryptology and in National Turkish Cryptology Institute. And I started to do my master's at a university in Istanbul. And that was when I first hear about like machine learning. And it kind of like completely blew my mind. Like,
how long ago was that?
It was like 10 years ago at this point.
Okay, so like 2009.
Yeah. It was the first time I ever hear about machine learning, and I was completely like so impressed by it. Like, to be able to look at data and infer like some things out of it just sounded like magic to me.
Right.
Yeah. So then I decided to actually change my topic to machine learning, and I came to Purdue University in US to do a PhD in computer science, where I focused more on deep learning applications in graphs and text mining. And then I started my postdoc at MIT Media Lab for the last 2 years. So I'm currently working as a visiting professor in Bosphorus University in Turkey for this semester. But I'm coming back and forth to, you know, between Boston and Istanbul. Basically.
Your baby's racking up the frequent flyer miles.
Yes.
Looking forward, and it's almost, I feel like we've been having a conversation almost very with one foot in the future, even relative to AI. But kind of looking forward, I'm thinking about the way that humans can and will and should interact with, and we'll say AI is kind of a blanket for many different technologies. What do you think this is going to look like? And we can pare that down. We could talk about the arts. We could talk about fusing creativity into business and this whole notion of, you know, people being able to use these tools to help them kind of stumble upon these great ideas that they might not have come upon otherwise. Where do you think this is headed, or what are you excited to work on?
Yeah, so I think it is very important to work on tools that, you know, democratize the creative usage of AI for artists, artists and artisans, because right now, unless you have a GPU, like powerful GPU, it is very difficult to, you know, create these kind of designs and actually make something on top of them. And especially for artists, the entry barrier for this kind of stuff is a bit high.
Yes.
So to, you know, empower people and help them to, you know, create beautiful things, I think we need to push for technologies that helps people to, you know, use these technologies easier. And I think another part of it is personalization is going to be, I think, super big in the future as well. I think it is interesting to create, you know, these designs and make something real out of it. But I think the true power will come when you can actually personalize it. Because right now, the AI systems that we are working with are very powerful, can create, you know, thousands of different designs. But is it actually something that you are going to like?
Sure.
So it is very important to, you know, infer your personal taste and kind of combine it with the AI-generated content. I think this is going to be something really powerful.
Very cool. For folks who want to learn more about the many, many cool things you did at MIT, you're doing now, places online where they can look. I know you've got an Instagram.
Yeah. they can go to a very long URL called howtogeneratealmostanything.com.
Okay.
For the projects that you know, we are releasing every 2 or 3 weeks. Also, coven.ai for people who are interested in learning more about AI and fashion.
Coven, is it coven.ai? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Pinar Yanarda, thank you so much. This is an absolute pleasure. Wish you all the best in everything you're doing, including staying healthy while you're traveling.
Yeah. Thank you.